Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
All right, well, let's turn our attention now to former Texas Rangers pitcher Ryan Dries. Ryan, how's it going today, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Boy, Ryan, thanks for joining us. And Ryan and I came up through the Cleveland Indians organization, and I thought it could be fun maybe to start this off, Ryan, by talking about minor league baseball, as it's not going to happen this year. It's just going to be, you know, spring training baseball for those guys if they get to have some sort of kind of minor league season. What do you remember most? I know it's a big general question, but what do you remember most about minor league baseball?
It's getting used to the lifestyle that is professional baseball, I think. I mean, you get around a bunch of guys that, you know, the big joke at the beginning of spring training is, hey, only 8-9 months so you can pick your own friends. So you got to learn to coexist, learn to get along, and, you know, you end up making some good lifelong friends out of it. It's, but it's definitely eye-opening, and you realize that it's about performance, though, at the end of the day.
I've asked Mike this before, but I also like getting different players' perspectives on this. Can you walk us through what was the moment like, or what do you remember when you first talked with somebody and they said, we're going to put you on a baseball card, or the first time you saw one of your baseball cards?
Baseball card, it's kind of weird because when you're in the minor leagues, there's all these different companies that have like prospect cards and, you know, this card or that card. So we were coming up, it was kind of the emergence of all these other companies that were trying to get ahead of the times by putting all these draft prospects on different baseball cards. So as I remember, I collected baseball cards all childhood, and I had probably every single one in the Don Russ, Fleer, Topps. I had all of them. And, so I had first couple when I was in the minor leagues and never even done anything in the big leagues. But it's definitely cool, and it's kind of one of those feelings like, wow, you know, you're kind of looking at it and you're kind of in awe a little bit. But then again, you're like, man, I got to, you know, my stat lines are not good enough on the back, because you see some of those guys, you look at like a Ricky Henderson card. It's like the print is so tiny to fit all of his years on the back of it, you know?
So one of the upstart companies came to you. Are you like, you're not Fleer. You're not a real company. Like,
no, give me the
real company.
No chance. You're taking any money you can get. You see, I mean, I got a great story for you guys, actually. So Juan Gonzalez, kind of funny, in Cleveland, I came up. I remember we went on a road trip in Minnesota, and the Mall of America is just huge, biggest mall in America. And Juan used to have some guys that traveled around with him, like his physical therapist and strength trainer or whatever. And I remember being at the mall, and the way I would shop, or, you know, Bassick or somebody else would shop, be like, oh, I got some meal money here. I got a few $100. I go maybe buy a shirt, maybe a pair of jeans, whatever. Juan is literally, he's just walking through all the stores, and his guys just hold up shirts. And he points yes or no, and they just stack up piles and piles of piles of clothes.
Sweet.
on the checkout. He does it at every store. It's like he's got his probably 4 suitcases of clothes on every single store.
So
you know? It's kind of like, man, I don't have money like that.
Me too.
I'm wondering, Ryan, if this was the same trip, because in September we played Minnesota and we were on the team together, but there are different times where you were on the Indians in 2001 that I wasn't. Do you remember the trip where – in Minnesota, CeCe decided to change agents, because I remember being with Risky and I think you, and CeCe was supposed to go to the Mall America with us, and he couldn't because he was hiding in his hotel so he wouldn't have to talk to his former agent that day.
I do remember that. Yeah, the guy flew into town. I guess he fired him, switched agents. The guy, he was outside of his hotel room and he couldn't leave. It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, well, sorry. Too bad. But yeah, the guy was, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was outside.
I think it was Tanzer. Wasn't it Tommy Tanzer?
I think you're right, actually. Now that you say that name, it does ring a bell.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
That's what I remember out of that Minnesota trip, is CeCe being locked in his room pretty much until it was time to go to the ballpark.
Like, he's only pitching tonight. Doesn't matter. Leave him there.
Yeah. You know what, Ryan? And since, you know, former Texas Ranger, and honestly, it's really weird how we kind of became like, you were the only teammate of mine that we kind of kept following each other for the most part as we were with the Indians, and then we found ourselves with the Rangers kind of together, then we found ourselves with the Nationals together. I forget this. How did you get to the Texas Rangers?
I got traded. It was me and Enar Diaz got traded for Aaron Mayette and Travis Hafner.
Oh.
The Indians. I was on a flight to go to Cleveland. I'll never forget. I was going to go and we're going to doing like a fan fest, and I was going to go with Jerry, going to go meet Jerry Seinfeld after a show and a meet and greet. And I was really excited about that. And I get a call as I'm driving to the airport. It says, "Hey, just don't get on the flight." I'm like, "What do you mean?" Like, "Well, you're getting traded." And I was like, "Okay." And then, you know, back in those days, that was a long time ago. We didn't have instant notifications on our phones and everything. So you had to wait. You're like waiting for a call from an agent or a call from an organization. And it's kind of it's just a lot different than the way stuff is now. A lot of times now, guys know about stuff before they even get a phone call because the news breaks it on Twitter or something like that.
Was it Oral Hershiser that changed the way you threw a baseball? Because they were asking me before we had you on, Ryan Dries is on with us, former Texas Ranger, I was like, no, he was a big-time prospect. He actually threw the ball like in the mid-90s. But with the Rangers, you weren't throwing the ball in the mid-90s because I know you became more of a sinker ball pitcher. Was that Oral Hershiser who kind of changed the way you threw?
So after the 2003 season, I came here, I was, you know, high four-seam fastball guy like Cleveland wanted me to be, and I never threw a two-seamer before. I went home after not having a good 2003 because I needed to kind of reinvent myself and learn to keep the ball down. You know, my whole upbringing in professional baseball, I kind of had the pitching coaches that never really gave specifics. They just decided to say, "Well, get the ball down." "Well, why am I missing up?" "Well, get the ball down." "Well, yeah, we know, but why?" So I'm sure you had the same experience, Mike, and then that's just kind of the way it was, that old school mentality. So, you know, I came back, and me and my coach that I grew up with, Dave Silverstein, who I grew up with, he's my Little League coach and my coach my whole career, we started messing around with a sinker and just different grips to keep the ball down. So I figured out, you know, I kind of split my fingers, kind of like a modified split finger, and I would just throw straight on top of the ball, started getting movement, and then I came to spring training, and Oral was like, "Whoa, what's that? I like that." I said, "Well, I've been working on it." He goes, "Okay, good. That's all you're allowed to throw for your first three starts." So, of course, you're throwing that in spring training games against big league hitters, and every time you give a hit, you're pissed. You know, you're like, "Man, I should have thrown a breaking ball. Man, I should have thrown a changeup." But he wants you to get used to throwing it and realizing that big league level, you got to throw balls over the plate to get guys to swing. And a lot of times, mishit the ball turns into out. So it kind of ingrains that in you, so you know you can get out there and you can actually compete with it and be successful.
And 2004 turned into best season that you had, especially the best season here. And then you got to, was it opening day 2005 then that you got to get the start? And if so, what is that experience like when they say, "We're going to hand you the ball to start the season"?
That was awesome. And I think that was, I earned it, I think, from the way I pitched in 2004. But it was pretty awesome just knowing I was reliable. You know, I pitched on short rest a lot of times for Buck and Oral the year before. And, you know, by starting to throw the two-seamer a lot, I was having a lot fewer pitches per inning. So my arm wasn't as worn down as it would have been with all the max effort that I was doing before. But it was fun. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I'll never forget warming up in Anaheim and I'm out in the bullpen. I had no idea there were these A-10 Warthogs that were going to do a flyover before the game.
Ooh.
And I'm locked in for the game. I am dialed in. I am excited. I'm ready to go. I'm throwing down the bullpen, and next thing you know, and I mean, it scared the crap out of me. The hair on the neck starts standing up, and they're actually, it's like they're so fast and low and so loud, you kind of hear it after they're gone by you. But it was pretty much an experience from that point on, and that kind of got the jitters out, then you just start pitching a game.
And I don't know what you can or cannot tell us, but like, you did not make it with the Rangers through the end of the season. Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, they decided to release me and designate me. I mean, I had a couple bad starts in a row. I had about, I don't know, three or four bad starts in a row where I wasn't keeping.
That's a surprising turn of events for somebody who had, like, started the season as the top pitcher, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they you know, Buck told me that. He goes, hey, do you either want to go down to the minor leagues? We could, you know, outright, he's got to clear waivers. And me, I'm like, no chance do I want to do that. I'd much rather take my chance to be claimed by another team and still be in the big leagues. And so, you know, I got claimed by the Nationals the next day, and so I went to Washington.
Wow.
I mean, it happens, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, Ryan, about the you went to Cal and you played there, and I know Mike had the chance to go to Texas Tech and play baseball and then kind of said, oh, well, I'm going to go play pro ball or minor league baseball. What was the experience of college like compared to what maybe Mike went through whenever he just went straight from high school to baseball?
It's different because when you're in college, you have to kind of balance the schoolwork and the baseball aspect of it. And you're not playing baseball every single day. You're playing weekend series and a midweek game, and you're pretty much guaranteed to get one day off a week or something like that. So that's why I said it, the weirdest thing when you go to the minor leagues is getting used to the lifestyle of it. It's literally every single day. It's Groundhog Day. And you have to get used to it and just learn. Everybody has to learn what makes them tick, what makes them be successful. You know, and I wish I learned this earlier than I did, but, you know, you think that, oh, I have to do all this kind of stuff and all this eyewash stuff to make somebody in the organization happy, to make them like me. But at the end of the day, you realize all that matters is how you perform during the games. I mean, as long as you're not a complete clown off the field, if you perform during the games and have good success, you'll get a chance at the big league level. And then it's up to you to stay healthy and to perform once you get there. You know, I remember I went to spring training with the Atlanta Braves after my first Tommy John surgery, and I go there, and it was kind of funny because Bobby Cox, you know, here you have a guy who's had all the success in the National League. All these guys want to keep playing for him. And he goes, hey, guys, we're not getting pitchers. No, you don't shag. You guys, spring training is about getting your bodies in shape and playing golf and hanging out with your family and friends.
Ooh.
And, you know, no PFPs ever. If you don't know how to cover first base on a ball to the right side, you're not going to be on my team anyway. If you don't know that we have to get it out on a bunt, you're not going to be on my team anyway. We're not going to do these fancy bunt plays that everybody else works on. So I was like, man, that's great. And he's like, yeah, if you want to come in and get your side work done and your workout before and then go play, make it at 9 a.m. tee time, go do it. I don't care. And I was just like, wow, no wonder everybody loves playing for this guy. Because he said all that matters is the 162 games when the season starts.
I kind of want to go play for him now. That's exciting.
Yeah, right? I remember there was another a young kid who'd never been to big leagues before, and he kept coming up to the strength and conditioning coach, like, what's my workout today? The guy and the coach looks at him and he goes, I don't know. What do you normally do? It wasn't like Mike, you know, every other organization, they have like a list and they make you do all this kind of this big regimen about everything that everybody has to do that day. And it's just not that way with the Braves. It's kind of funny.
I wonder, you know, Ryan, as you're talking about this, I wonder, though, because we came up with the Indians where Fernando Montes, who came from Stanford football, I mean, it was very regimented what we came up with the Cleveland Indians. But I'm wondering your opinion on this. I did really appreciate how regimented the Cleveland Indians were that I was, you know, came into it at 18 years old and then was traded at 22 years old. That I did have that foundation. So then when I went to other organizations that were what I'd consider unorganized, some of them, when it came to their workouts and their work ethic on what we needed to do to get ready for a game, I did really appreciate that. Did you have the same feeling at all of kind of coming up in the Indians that they did give us a really good foundation for work ethic?
They really did. And the fact that, you know, they really did that, especially the minor leaguers with the winter baseball program that nobody else did. You know, and they wanted, you know, it's kind of like they got to find a foundation for everybody. And Fernando was one of the first in baseball to kind of do that full time, I think. And so, you know, you got to kind of tip your hat for being a little bit ahead of the time. But, you know, it did translate too. When you go to other organizations, you kind of see where other people were doing. You're kind of saying, man, this doesn't really measure up. Like, man, we've been doing all this stuff and you've been doing nothing. Like, it doesn't really make sense.
And look, both of us got to be part of the Washington Nationals organization too, and I'll just be specific, Ryan. That's the organization where I was like, holy cow, like these kids have no chance of like coming up and maybe being like understanding work ethic and like responsibility and because I was like, I don't know if you felt the same way, Ryan, but when we were there and kind of we got sent down to minor league camp, I was like, my God, Like, where is the organization in this organization?
Yeah, there was no organization in an organization. And, you know, I've said this for the longest time. I think even in today's game, from what I've seen in the minor leagues and the major leagues, there's such a disconnect between major leaguers and minor leaguers within each organization that I've always said, like, if each organization was to take $1 million a year that they dedicate towards their, let's just say, $90 million payroll and put it towards the entire minor league system, how much it would improve every single aspect of that minor leaguer's experience. I've said that for years because there's a big disconnect. You know, a lot of times your farm directors don't communicate with the Major League Baseball staff and they're looking for two different things. You know, and you see the good organizations are kind of the operate as one unit you see nowadays.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate you jumping on with us. That was some excellent stuff right there, man.
Yeah, it was fun. I got a funny story for you guys actually from today. You're talking about this whole coronavirus shutdown. So I just took my daughter to her elementary school because they got class pickup day and everything. And they have these T-shirts over at Grapevine Elementary, and they have the state of Texas, the stars, the logo, but they have a mask over the star. It's actually pretty funny.
Nice.
So they give them to all the graduating fifth graders. And I'm sure, you know, going to Heritage Middle on tomorrow for drive-through graduation for eighth grade, it's going to be pretty much the same thing. So it's kind of funny, but, you know, this is definitely be a time to remember with all that's going on with our personal lives and also, you know, with the sports world right now.
Awesome, man. Appreciate that very much. We'll talk with you later.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
I'd be intrigued to see if that's a big part of logo games going forward.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.